couple of readings this morning. The first is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and I'm going to be reading from the Inclusive Bible. This is frequently known as the Magnificat or Mary's Psalm. Mary said, "My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you, my Savior. For you have looked with favor upon your lowly servant, and from this day forward all generations will call me blessed. For you, the Almighty, have done great things with me, and holy is your name. Your mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear you. You have shown great strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised up the lowly to high places. You have filled the hungry with good things, while you have sent the rich away empty." They've had blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. And then I'd like to read a brief excerpt from Madeleine Albright's book, Fascism, A Warning. She says, "Power is, as we know, an addiction prone to abuse. Even those who enter public life with the best of intentions are susceptible to its pull. We ought, therefore, to be mindful of our own bad habit, which is to look for and expect easy answers when the most serious problem we face are anything but."
This song is called Magnificat, written by a male contemporary artist, Mark, and I've worked on the words a little bit. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in my Savior. He has seen the humble state of my heart, and now all will call me blessed.
Thank you.
This morning is entitled Singing Mary Song. Mary, did you know your baby boy? I'm not going to sing that one. I won't do that. But also, that particular song, I assume that everyone heard the scripture that I read a few minutes ago and that Stephanie repeated in her song, the one from the Gospel of Luke, the one where a pregnant Mary sings, "Your mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear you. You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. You have filled the hungry with good things and you sent the rich away empty." Mary, did you know? Yes! Mary knew. Several verses earlier, Mary's visited by an angel. And the angel tells her, "You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary, did you know? Yes! Mary knew. It may come as no surprise that the person who tried to use a song to rewrite the reality of what Mary knew was a guy. Actually, it was a pretty well-known guy who is still around writing songs. His name, some of you may know, Mark Lowry. Like I said, no surprise that a guy would try to rewrite what Mary knew, even though we have such a specific record in the story of what Mary knew. It should also come as no surprise that not only is Mark Lowry a songwriter, but he's a conservative minister as well. It's no surprise that conservative voices like Lowry's prefer to question such a strong woman rather than celebrate her. The fact that her message was about how God stands in judgment of those who think too much of themselves and those who use their riches to rule over others, I'm sure just makes them want to silence her all the more, in part, I assume, because it hits a little too close to home. The reality is that, like Mary's song indicates, the real reason for the season is a message of condemning those who think too highly of themselves and then use that to step on and marginalize others. The Christmas story, and it is a story or stories, and in this one it's Luke's, his story gives us messages of equality and the importance of those who come from seemingly, quote, lowly places. It's little wonder that the powerful and the privileged have buried those messages under a whitewashed season of quietly waiting for the arrival of a child born as a king. They want to silence Mary, but when I read her song and see how it sets the tone for the Christmas story, I'm left with the sense that we should be loudly and pointedly proclaiming the true message of the Christmas story, not about a child born as a king, but rather about a poor child born under difficult circumstances to a very young 16-ish and very strong woman. One who would teach her child the importance of equality, of confronting the powerful, of speaking up for the downtrodden, of feeding the hungry, and condemning the ultra-wealthy in a world full of need. After all, those are the implications of the song she sang while pregnant with him. All part of who she understood God to be and what God wants from us, and not surprisingly, all part of what her child would go out to teach the world. Jesus had a ministry that sang his mother's song. Unfortunately, the Christmas story has been hijacked by a dominant culture. Places of power and positions of prestige have warped the come-up-in sensibilities of the original Christmas story that we heard about in Mary's song. And folks, I have to tell you, her song is not as sweet and demure and whitewashed like the modern take on it has become. It's downright rebellious. To me, it's Mary's verbal act of flipping the tables of people who use their places of power to take advantage of others. As a matter of fact, I believe that there is a direct line between what this song teaches and Jesus actually flipping the tables of the racketeering money changers in the temple grounds, an event that contributed to his death. Powerful people will go to any length to silence their challengers. Let's hear her words again. You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. You have filled the hungry with good things, while you've sent the rich away empty. In her song, Mary is anticipating the child that will be born, much like some Christians do during the season of Advent. But she isn't quietly waiting and anticipating some idealistic and serene path to hope, peace, joy, and love, as the season of Advent invites people to do. No. She is much more honest and empowering than that. Hers is a vision of overturning the powers that be and liberating the oppressed, the downtrodden. Sadly, our modern Christmas celebrations have managed to slowly replace that reality year after year with a story that no longer brings fear to the powers that be, but rather supports the big business agendas of profit and mass consumerism. They say there's a war on Christmas. And I guess they're right. There is a war on Christmas, but it is actually waged by many of the very people who think Christmas is getting squeezed out of our culture in the name of plurality and other religions. But I am here to tell you that if you get upset because someone says Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas, it's you that's not keeping the Christ in Christmas. So yes, I guess there is a war on Christmas, and we have been, in some degree, supporting it. If the present-day whitewashed version of Christmas continues to be the dominant version of Christmas, then I believe it will slowly smother us in a sea of privilege and perverse oblivion to the struggle of those who are most in need, the oppressed and the downtrodden. The very people Mary's song lifted up as she anticipated the birth of her son. The very people Jesus' life and ministry were about, the very people they both understood God to be positively biased towards the very people we should be caring about as well. Again, Mary's words, you have shown strength with your arm, you have scattered the proud of their conceit, you have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places, you have filled the hungry with good things while you have sent the rich away empty. Those words occur at the beginning of the Christmas story in Luke. They are meant to set the stage for what Jesus' teachings and life were about. Given that, I have to believe that it should be the dominant message of the Christmas narrative. A message of equality, a message of justice, a message of love and compassion, a message of lifting up the low and lowering down the haughty. So is it? Does our modern telling of the Christmas story bring hope to the hopeless? Does it bring justice to those who have been treated unjustly? Does it feel as rebellious and liberating as Mary's song? Does our modern day Christmas truly sing Mary's song? This Christmas season, as we tell stories of Jesus' birth, let's also remember his words, "No greater love has any person than this, that they lay down their lives for the friend." As we remember the humble, unassuming way he came into this world, let us not forget that he left this world among thieves as an outsider hanging on a cross in an attempt to teach us something about love. He led his life singing his mother's song. We, too, must sing Mary's song. You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud. You have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. We must sing her song not just with our voice, but with our very lives. This Christmas, I wish for you and for me a Christmas that encourages us to be advocates of those caught in the traps of hunger, oppression, poverty, being unhoused, and war. Traps that are created by the powerful, but mostly impact those who struggle the most. I wish for us a Christmas that helps us see beyond the cleaned up Christmas that is so frequently presented today, and instead see the humble, unassuming beginnings of Christmas. A baby born to an outsider. A baby who would grow up to teach the world about love, equality, and compassion. A child who learned and then sang his mother's song. A song that taught of a new political arrangement in the world. One that's not so unnecessarily littered with the pitfalls of the powerful. A song that demands the end to systems of domination. A song that casts a vision of full equality and inclusion of all people. A song of a resurrected world that values all humanity. You ask me, that is a Christmas story worth not just singing about, but also living out, working towards, and helping create. Mary's song, in case you can't tell, inspires me. Mary inspires me. She is a revolutionary rebel. Her song sets the groundwork for a Christmas story that stands over and against the powerful and lifts up the downtrodden. I refuse to let that compelling and much needed story to be co-opted and silenced by the powerful, the privileged politicians and for-profit corporations who know that Mary's song and the true message of the Christmas story are counter to what keeps them in places of dominance. Let us sing her song. A song of true Christmas. It is a song about the end to white power and the endless, and the end to hunger and homelessness, an end to military might and wars that destroy innocent lives, an end to racism, misogyny, and queerphobia. A song that casts a vision of a world centered on hope, peace, joy, and love. It's the perfect way to celebrate Christmas all year long, singing Mary's song.
With my own, with my own.
I'd like to share a sort of guided prayer with you. It's based on the heart of Mary's song. The verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 52 says, "He hath brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." It's actually something that I found. I've adapted it to make it more current. It's a prayer from the website christianaid.org.uk. Let's bow our heads together. There'll be brief pauses for you to do your own reflection or prayer. May Mary's song be heard through the ages, drowning out the din of Christmas chaos. May it be heard by the victims of violence and war in the Ukraine. May it ring in the ears of the traumatized in Libya, Turkey and Syria, Haiti, and as close as Tennessee. May it sing in the hearts of those stuck in the refugee camps of Bangladesh, Kenya, and Jordan. May it be an earworm song of hope. We're all standing strong for Aboriginal and Native land rights. May it be the rally cry of peace for the war weary in Gaza. May it nourish hope in the bellies of those fearful of failed harvest and food deserts. May it be a song that stirs reverent fear in the hearts of those who assume power. May it be a song of promise and inspiration for all who are targets of racism, misogyny, and queerphobia. And may the joyful promise of justice and overturned power fill all of our hearts to overflowing action. Amen.